Good morning, everyone. Amen. Welcome to you on this lovely autumnal morning. Welcome to those here in the church and to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or week. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory, hymn 61 being Psalm 98. We sing verses 1 to 4 and verse 7. Verses 1 to 4 and verse 7. Oh, sing a new song to the Lord. The call to prayer comes from Psalm 133. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. The name of the Lord is to be praised. Let us pray. Almighty God, you created the world in all its splendor. And through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, you redeemed the world. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we worship you and we marvel at your unfailing love for us. God of grace, your might is beyond measure and your wisdom beyond knowledge. As we praise you for your faithfulness in each and every generation, we confess that when opportunities have arisen to serve you, we have often held back. That when we have known what to do, we sometimes fail to do it. And when we have known what not to do, we have often gone ahead and done it. Lord God, day after day we let you down. Yet your mercy is such you blot out the wrong we do and do not hold our shortcomings against us. Forgive us then our sins this day and give us strength that we may show our gratitude for your goodness by living lives that are worthy of our calling and that cause your great name to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. Gracious God, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. Accept our worship this morning. Give us a heart to love one another, and lips that we might proclaim the marvelous things you have done. And all through that same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who unites us as the one people, and who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The Bible reading rota for October through to December is available in the vestibule of the church. If you would like to read the lessons on a Sunday, please put your name against the Sunday of your choice. The first soup and sandwich lunch of the session will be held in the parish halls this coming Saturday at 12 o'clock. Now the weather, it's getting colder, that's weather for hot soup, so please do come along if you can and bring a friend. It's always good just to be able to gather together there and enjoy fellowship plus a fine lunch. So that's this coming Saturday at 12 o'clock. The Harvest Thanksgiving service next Sunday will be a family service, and once again we are supporting WaterAid. Envelopes have been distributed with the parishioner, but there's also envelopes out in both vestibules of the church. And these can be returned any Sunday in October, and of course you can also donate online. There's advance notice there. The craft group will meet in the parish halls on Thursday the 10th of October at 2 o'clock. The craft group normally met in an evening, but they've decided to meet in an afternoon, and the first meeting will be Thursday the 10th of October at 2 o'clock, and all will be welcome. Finally, if you're out in the Dollar area this afternoon, or you're looking for something to do, please do go along to Dollar Parish Church, where there's a harvest celebration, and our own organist will be giving a recital. Is it from 3 to 4, Tony? 3 to 4 this afternoon in Dollar Parish Church. And we send our good wishes to everyone there at Dollar. Now, I've got a question for you. What do you think Jesus looked like? It's quite a question, isn't it? We don't really know what Jesus looked like, though often we might try and imagine. And of course, there are images of Jesus depicted on stained glass. On Friday afternoon, I was through in Edinburgh and on the Royal Mile, and I happened to go into what was the Tron Kirk. It's no longer, sadly, a kirk. In fact, when I went in on Friday afternoon, there were different stall holders where the sanctuary had been, and they were selling various items. But the stained glass is still there. Lots of lovely stained glass. And in one of the windows, sure enough, Jesus is depicted. He's there with flowing blonde hair, blue eyes, a beard, and he is wearing the most beautiful, colourful robe. Now, lovely as it is to look at, I don't believe that that's how Jesus looked. And if Jesus was to walk into our church this morning, that's not how he would look. I've got two posters here to show to you, two sheets of paper. And this one has a young refugee girl. She's far from home and struggling to survive. And the other is of a homeless man, a person who is down on his luck and hungry. I wonder, do you see Jesus in that homeless and hungry man? Or do you see Jesus in those who come as refugees? One day, Jesus told a story about such people, people who are in need. And he said that when we are kind to such people, and when we help them, we are actually being kind to him and helping him. That's quite something, isn't it? Of course, we cannot help everyone. That sadly is just not possible. But there are times when we can give something to someone in need. There are times when we can let someone know that we're willing to listen if they need to talk. And there are times when we can say a kind word to those who are going through a hard time, to those who are lonely or sick or sad. Jesus said, when we do such things, we are doing what God wants us to do. We are affirming people, and we are showing what life in God's kingdom really is like. It is a kingdom where everyone is loved and valued, a kingdom in which everyone counts, a kingdom where everyone looks out for and cares for each other. Let's make such a kingdom a reality today. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for letting us continue your work. When we serve others, we serve you. Help us to look for ways to do that and to care for those in need. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 544, 544, When I Needed a Neighbor, Were You There?
Thank you. Today's reading, first reading, is taken from the book of the Old Testament at Isaiah chapter 65 at verses 17 to 25, and it can be found on page 625 of the Pew Bible. Isaiah 65 at verse 17. Hear the word of God. See, I am creating new heavens and a new earth. The past will be no more be remembered, nor will it ever come to mind. Rejoice and be forever filled with delight at what I create. For I am creating Jerusalem as a delight and her people as a joy. I shall take delight in Jerusalem and rejoice in my people. The sound of weeping, the cry of distress will be heard in her no more. No child there will ever again die in infancy. No old man fail to live out his span of life. He who dies at 100 is just a youth, and if he does not attain 100, he is thought accursed. My people will build houses and live in them, plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They will not build for others to live in or plant for others to eat. They will be as long-lived as a tree, and my chosen ones will enjoy the fruit of their labor. They will not toil to no purpose or raise children for misfortune, because they and their issue after them are a race blessed by the Lord. Even before they call to me, I shall answer, and while they are speaking, I shall respond. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and for the serpent its food will be dust. Neither hurt nor harm will be done in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Our second reading is from the book of the New Testament, and it's Matthew chapter 25 at verses 31 to 46. It can be found on page 24 of the Bible, Pew Bible. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne with all the nations gathered before him. He will separate people into two groups as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "You have my Father's blessing. Come, take possession of the kingdom that has been ready for you since the world was made. For when I was hungry, you gave me food. When thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me into your home. When naked, you clothed me. When I was ill, you came to my help. When in prison, you visited me." Then the righteous will reply, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? A stranger and took you home, or naked and clothed you? When did we see you ill or in prison and come to visit you?" And the king will answer, "Truly I tell you, anything you did for one of my brothers here, however insignificant, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "A curse on you, go from my sight to the eternal fire that is ready for the devil and his angels. For when I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. When thirsty, nothing to drink. When I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. When I was naked, you did not clothe me. When I was ill and in prison, you did not come to my help." And they in their turn will reply, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison and did nothing for you?" And he will answer, "Truly I tell you, anything you failed to do for one of these, however insignificant, you failed to do for me." And they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous will enter eternal life. Amen.
Thank you, Christine. There's a spirit in the air, hymn 616. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have given us a vision of a new day, a day when all will be as you want it to be, a day when right will prevail, justice be done, war cease, and all people will live in harmony with you and with one another. Lord God, amidst all that could cause us to lose heart or grow weary, let us not lose sight of that vision, and may it prompt us to root it in our lives, that it may in time become a reality. Almighty God, your Son revealed your love and showed us what it means to belong to your kingdom, to feed the hungry, give a drink to the thirsty, to befriend the stranger, to clothe the naked, to care for the sick and visit those in prison. Help us, O God, to be kingdom people, to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather may we gladly serve, and in serving, continue the great work our Lord began. Gracious God, as the situation in the Middle East escalates, and fears abound of what the coming days will bring, bless the world with peace, and guide with your wisdom the leaders of all the nations, that your kingdom may advance until that day when the earth is filled with the knowledge of your love. Lord God, be with all who are in trouble or pain. Heal those who are sick. Support those who are dying. Comfort those who mourn, and be near to those whom now we name in a moment of silence. Eternal God, in seeking your blessing upon our homes and church, we give you thanks for your people of every age and place, and for those dear to our own hearts who kept the faith on earth and have entered into the joy of your nearer presence. Inspire us by their example, and bring us with them at the last to the kingdom of your glory. And all through that same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thy kingdom come, on bended knee. We sing hymn 473. 473.
Thank you.
Occasionally, when we look back and remember times past, we can, some of us at least, find ourselves wishing we could return to them. We may recall our early and formative years when parents or others were there to look after us and provide for us. We may recall years when we seemed to have more leisure time and were immune from the pressures of life we now know. Or we may recall years when we were well and active and not restricted by the limitations of our aging bodies and minds. To look back, even to yearn for times past when all seemed better than it now is natural, and some would say human. And yet, of course, we know in our heart of hearts, we cannot go back. The past is just that, the past. And it is the present that we live in and the future that beckons us on. In the passage that we read from Isaiah, the people of Israel were going through a difficult time. They were home again, but home wasn't heaven, not by a long shot. Even rebuilt, Jerusalem was a shadow of its former self. Even re-inhabited, it was a place in which weeping and crying filled the air. Instead of joy, the people lamented and found themselves yearning for the past and a time long gone. The situation in the Middle East has unfortunately intensified significantly in these recent days. Thousands of lives have already been lost in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. People have been displaced, and many buildings have been damaged or destroyed. One cannot begin to imagine what it must be like to live in the region. And one can well understand why so many people there, in looking to the future, do so with fear and trepidation. What will the future hold for them and for the children who should definitely not have to grow up in such a frightening environment? The prophet Isaiah was a wise man. In addressing the people of Israel, he acknowledged the difficulties and setbacks they were experiencing and the trials they had to endure. And that in itself would have meant something to the people. Here was someone, a prophet, a man of God, who understood what they were going through. We know from our own personal experience, if we are going through, for whatever reason, a hard time, it doesn't help if others belittle what we are going through or dismiss what is happening or how we are feeling. Isn't it much better when others say, even though they cannot enter into our situation, we're with you, we sympathise, and we're there for you? Isaiah acknowledged the people's plight, but then he did something. He set before them a vision of a better time to come. It was a vision of restoration, a vision of a day when tears of sorrow would no longer be shed, a day when despair would cease and hope would abound, a day of gladness when all, young and old alike, will live together in peace. I wonder how the people responded to that vision. No doubt there would have been some who thought that Isaiah had lost the plot, and possibly they would have mocked him accordingly. How could they possibly look forward to such a time when their city lay in ruins, the cry of distress was heard, and many were hungry? I rather suspect that the people of Israel and Palestine, on hearing such words today, would have cause to wonder too. And what about the people of Ukraine and the innocent people of Russia? And what of those in lands devastated by the impact of climate change and other disasters? Isaiah's acknowledgement of the hardship we all have to endure in the course of our lives, we can accept. But his vision of a new heaven and a new earth, where the past will no more be remembered and all will be as it should be, I wonder. And yet, is this vision not one that we, as followers of Jesus, are meant to have and hold on to? What is more, while we have the eternal vision of that time when there shall be no more pain or suffering or death, are we not called to work and make Isaiah's vision and the vision of God's kingdom as described by Jesus a reality here and now? It is clear that some of the first Christians thought that the time between Christ's ascension and return to earth would be short, possibly within their lifetime. Thus, some saw that as justification for not engaging with the world. But as time passed, so the realization dawned that Christ's return was not imminent, and that far from withdrawing from the world, we have, as God's people, to engage with it, promoting as we do the values of the kingdom, and making a difference for good. As we read about the life and ministry of Jesus, it is so very evident that he understood the circumstances of people, and that his heart went out to those in any kind of need. And in his teaching, he gives us a clear indication of what we are to do as we continue his ministry today. That is particularly clear in this morning's parable from St. Matthew's Gospel, where it is evident that God will judge us not on the knowledge we have amassed, not on the fame that we have acquired, but on the help that we have given. The things described by Jesus are things that anyone can do. Giving someone who is hungry a meal, or someone who is thirsty a drink. Welcoming a stranger, cheering the sick, visiting a prisoner. In the parable that Jesus told, those who helped did not think they were helping Christ and thus piling up eternal merit. They helped because they could not stop themselves. It was the natural, instinctive, uncalculating reaction of the loving heart. There is a story about Francis of Assisi. He was a wealthy individual from a privileged background, but he was far from happy. He felt his life was incomplete, that there was something missing from it. And then one day when he was out riding, he met a leper. The leper was covered in sores caused by the awful disease. Something moved Francis to dismount and fling his arms round the leper. And in his arms, the face of the leper changed to the face of Christ. Someone once said, saints are people who are working for the kingdom, not sitting around waiting for it to happen. My dear people, the prophet Isaiah has given us a vision of a better time, and Christ in his teaching calls us to continue his work and bring in the day of God's kingdom by helping those in need and making known through our good deeds the love of God, whose promise of an unshakable future not only surely gives us the strength to persevere and keep going and keep believing and keep hoping, but also does that vision not give us the desire to serve and to make the vision a reality by living it out in our lives day by day. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We sing the hymn 465, the closing hymn, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. And following the benediction, we sing the doxology found at hymn 810. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore.